I still can't believe it's Friday. Wow, the week certainly flies by, I tell you. All right, well, welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll remind you all you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind each and every day. Of course, you can give us a buzz here at the studio by calling 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your noggin. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? That's right. I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and post some conversations that you would love to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Al Martin WKAR, facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartinwkar.org. What a week. What a week. What a week. This week we posed the question as to whether or not athletes should be allowed to post whatever they want on Twitter and Facebook or any other social networking site for that matter. Thank you all out there who weighed in on this very, very interesting topic. Special thanks goes to Jennifer Smith and Elizabeth Heinrich, who work in the in compliance services. They gave us great insight into all of that. I want to thank you all out there again who weighed in on that topic. We also had some great guests this week. Just a really spectacular week. If you look at the guests we had, it really makes this week one that's very memorable so far here on Current Sports. Thanks to Detroit Pistons radio play-by-play announcer, who also does play-by-play for the MSU football team, George Blaha. He was great as always, and we also had another presence from Detroit Pistons broadcasting and former Spartan legend in the world of college basketball, Mateen Cleaves. That's right, he was on yesterday, and you can't forget about the outstanding interview we had with president of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League, Matthew Brown. He had such an inspirational message. He's doing some great things with the Lansing Cowboys. And, you know, he talked about how you can get your kid out there involved with that team. And if you make the team, everything is free. Free, that's right. Google the Lansing Cowboys. They'll pop right up, and you can find out when tryouts are. I believe they are the 22nd. And bring your kid out. Bring your kid out. It should be a great experience for them. And it's Friday. That's right, Friday. So you know that means we're going to have our Reflection Friday segment. It will be in full effect at the bottom of the hour. Production assistants Alex Strog and Matt Lucky will join me as we run down our favorite stories and moments of this week on Current Sports and in the sports world in general, and also look ahead to what's on the tube for the weekend. And, of course, give us a call during that last portion. We want to know what was your favorite sports story of this week. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Want to hear what really intrigued you throughout this week in sports. But before we get to all of that, I'm pleased to introduce our very first weekly golf tip segment right here on Current Sports. Now, Alex and I headed over to Timber Ridge Golf Course to meet up with golf pro Max Rebner. Now, Max just passed his playing ability test and is on the road to earning his PGA card. Alex and I went out to the course yesterday and played the first hole over at Timber Ridge along with Max. It was certainly a fun time. It was actually, Alex, your first time being on the course in quite a while. How'd you enjoy it, man?
Well, I enjoyed it because you, the listener, hear the smooth Al Martin that everybody knows today. But on the golf course, it was fun to see Al Martin lose his smooth. It was incredible. Balls going left, balls going right.
Hey, now. Okay, yeah, all right. And to my discretion, I have to put out there that the reason, you know, because we hop out the car to meet up with Max. We're looking for him. I usually go to the driving range. I'm not making excuses, but this is an excuse, all right? I usually go out to the driving range, warm up a little bit, and then hit the course, and I'm solid. But, man, that was just right out the car. I was rusty. You'll hear it. The segment's coming up. But afterwards, Alex and I, we went to the driving range, and I was very impressed at your play on the driving range for your first time playing in quite a while, man. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I'm not regularly a golfer, but you know what? The coolest part about going out there with Max is the fact that we talked to a head professional, a golf pro.
Yeah.
And his tips, what he had to say about some of the intricacies of golf, are something that you, the listener, probably have not really heard much about.
Yeah, definitely. We're trying to make this a weekly thing with Max Rebner. Again, he's the golf pro over at Timber Ridge Golf Course. Well, let's show you what happened yesterday. Me and Max went out and we played the very first hole over at Timber Ridge. A fun time. Check it out.
Well, the first hole here at Timber Ridge, it's a par four. Meaning if you get the ball in the hole in four shots, you're like a typical tour pro.
Right.
So the best way to do that on this hole, it's it curves slightly to the left, or in golf terminology, we'd call that a dog leg left. Yep. And really you see trees kind of lined down the left side and right side. And the biggest thing for me is I know where I don't want to be, and that's way right. So first in my head, I tell myself where I don't want to be. Where's the worst place I could possibly put this golf ball? And then from there, where I tee the ball sometimes makes a difference. Sometimes I like to tee the golf ball on the side of the trouble where I don't want to be. Right. That way I can kind of visually see more of the location of where I want to be.
Gotcha.
That's probably the first tip. When you're on the tee box, always tee the golf ball towards the side of where you don't want to be. Since it's the first hole, I'm just making sure I'm loose, get any sort of tight muscles out, do some nice stretches, and really rehearse, you know, a good swing. Pretend that each practice swing is like I'm actually hitting the golf ball. And then once I see my spot and visualize it, I just go. A little left, but like I said before, left is better than right, exactly. And that's what I planned for, so.
Beautiful shot. I'm not doing that off the tee. Warning everyone out there.
We're going to see what's going on with your swing, though. That's
yeah, please, yeah, and tell me about my swing and everything. And I went right.
Okay.
Way right. Jeez, I'm going to need a ball. Another ball.
So here at Timber, you can definitely get into some trouble if you go beyond the trees.
Yeah.
You don't see
yeah.
it land. In this case, the ruling would be definitely to hit another ball just in case. And what we call that is a provisional shot. So in case you lose your first one, you don't have to go all the way back to hit another one. You've already hit a second one. Good. So that shot you hit to the right,
yeah.
Is that your typical miss? Like, if you're going to miss one way or the other, this is the first thing I usually go over with my students is if you have a consistent sort of mess up or miss hit,
right.
It's better to have a consistent miss so right. that way we can sort of groove a swing that can be consistently better. So
gotcha.
Would you say you go right more often?
More often, yeah. If I do miss, it's more so to the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I noticed from your first swing, so I don't teach one way with all my students, but the one thing I sort of preach is that the golf swing is composed of two main body parts, and it's the torso, meaning from the waist up until, you know, your chest, turning, and your arms lifting. So if you had a golf swing that, you know, was just all arm lift and no turn whatsoever, you'd see, you know, something like this, you know, where I'm just moving my arms kind of in this, you almost imagine a hula hoop. A straight up and down hula hoop. Now when I start turning a little bit, that hula hoop changes.
Right.
Gets put on a different axis. So the best swing is a great combination of turning just enough to get your arms to fall on a certain swing path that produces a straight shot. Now what happened with your swing was you did a good job of turning a little bit and lifting your arms,
yeah.
But you actually lifted your arms too much to the point where the club got really super long in your backswing. So what happens is when you try to do your downswing, your body starts unraveling.
Right.
And since you had your club too far back in your backswing, it kind of created too much lag and too much for you to do with your arms to the point where they were actually lagging behind. And when your arms lag behind, it doesn't give you enough time to square up the golf club with the ball.
So I went too far back.
So you went too far back with your arms. That would be the first major thing I would say to you is shorten your arm lift. Really think 3/4 with your arms. In all actuality, you'll probably be close to 100%. And just think arms down first. You know, from there, if you have a good amount of turn and arm lift in your swing, which I think you do, it's just, in your case, less is more. Gotcha. So if you shorten your arms on your backswing and just think arms down first, the timing of your arms and your torso, the two main components to the golf swing, in my opinion, you'll be more likely to hit a straight shot. So right now your chest is sort of pointed in this direction.
Right.
If you got yourself to turn more that way, without swaying your hips, see how your hips kind of did that?
Yeah.
So the measure of how much you can turn your torso without swaying your hips or doing anything with the lower body,
right,
is how much can you turn your chest without moving your belt buckle.
Moving.
There you go. That's it. And you'll notice that you can't raise your arms that much when you do it properly.
If I do, I'm going to mess this up.
Exactly.
Got it.
So a little more turn, get that chest more behind you, and it will automatically shorten up the arms for you.
Now, would you say golfers have to do a series of stretches that deal with
flexibility?
The
is definitely crucial in golf.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can't teach one way with everyone because not everyone is capable of having a more aggressive swing. Because they're simply not flexible enough to do it. However, I can work my way around it, you know, sort of implementing other body parts into the swing to accommodate their physical setbacks.
Gotcha. Wow. All right. Let's try it, man.
Let's go for it.
Let's do this thing. It's straighter.
Okay.
To the left now.
Believe it or not, that's actually, if you just freeze right there with your left foot, it's actually where you're aiming. Before, so when you develop bad habits, you subconsciously start correcting yourself.
Right.
Because everybody wants to get better, and when you don't have a lesson, when you don't have any sort of instruction, you're going to try to find out how to get better.
Right.
You're going to try to figure it out yourself. So if you end up hitting a lot of shots to the right, your aiming is progressively going to get more left and left to keep it in play. I mean, it's...
Right, exactly.
So now that... Now that we're fixing the swing, let's... You'll hit one more.
All right.
And this time, we're going to adjust your feet a little more.
Okay.
So that they're more down that line.
Beautiful. Okay. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that was where I was aiming. Wow, okay.
Because it was actually a good swing.
Yeah. It felt good. I thought I was going to see Tiger Woods or something.
Nice and easy. Okay.
Right again.
Now, the difference between that shot to the right and your first one to the right, that one went straight to the right.
Yeah.
And it didn't curve to the right.
Curve. Yeah.
So what that means, you're on the correct swing path. So once you get the path, once I teach how you get on the right path, from there it's timing. From there it's okay. My arms were still lagging slightly behind, and the club face as a result was pointed to the right. Yep. So the next swing, just speed up those arms a little more,
right?
Or think between your arms and your torso, one of them has to either slow down or one of them has to either speed up.
Gotcha.
Once you get the correct path, the rest is just timing.
Nice. Okay.
Cool.
Right, let's go down there. Let's play second
shot. Let's do it.
Right now, we're about to play the second shot of the first hole here at Timber Ridge Golf Course. It is a par 4. I have hooked a ball to the right. I hooked two to the right, one to the left, and we're about to go, go find the balls right now and see how to play this next shot.
Yes, we are. The actual correct terminology for what you did to the right is a slice.
I sliced it to the right.
Sliced it to the right.
Right.
For a lefty, it would have been a hook.
Gotcha.
You know, we're looking at the GPS units on the carts here, and they definitely give you a nice layout of the hole, and they tell you exactly the distance to certain points in the hole that you might want to avoid. Like from right here, we're 227 yards to the bunker.
Right.
So that tells me if I ended up hitting a bad tee shot to this point, that would kind of be my mark, and I would tell myself, you know, I don't want to hit a club that's going to go more than 220 yards.
Exactly.
I don't want to go in that bunker, and I know I'm not going to get to the green because that's way too far. And it tells you so.
Yeah, definitely. These GPSs are really, really nice.
And we're the only course in mid-Michigan that has GPS units on their cars.
Wow, nice. I'm coming here next time, man.
Please do. A little over 100 yards. For me, that's That's going to be a lob wedge for me. That's my shortest club. That it goes about 100 yards for me. And the biggest thing for this is, you know, again, I look at the spots where I don't want to go. So on the first hole at Timber Ridge, you definitely don't want to go long. So that's why I chose to use the shorter club rather than taking one more and going long. And I definitely don't want to go left because there's trees that I definitely can't get out of if I miss a little bit to the left. So my goal is to aim just to the right of the flag and just put a smooth swing on it because I'd rather be short than long.
Right. Beautiful. All right, let's do it, man.
Gotcha. Hey, well, you set up very well, I tell you that.
You know, even a golf pro has a brain fart every now and then, and actually I can analyze my own golf swing there. What
it's
I did
the pressure
there,
of the, you know, being on radio, that's all that is.
Man. Yeah, you know, I
that's not live.
But like I said before, it's better to be short than long.
There you go.
I still have a shot chipping up to the green. What I did there is, you know, I took my backswing, and on my downswing, I looked up towards the target. I was eager to see where the ball went, and as a result, by my head looking up, my body came up, and I ended up hitting the ball sort of kind of halfway on top of it. I almost topped it. So,
right. Gotcha.
So the key is stay down, keep your head down, and I didn't quite do that there. So
okay.
That would be your tip for this shot for sure.
I used to do that all the time, keep my head up, and I used to do that. That was me for about every shot.
It's the easiest thing to do, the hardest thing to remember.
Right, exactly.
Left.
Okay. Don't go into bushes. That's deep.
So remember how when your arms are sort of lagging behind,
yeah,
ball went right. That time your arms got ahead, and that club face turned over just a little bit before your body could sort of counter
it. It's all about timing right
now. It's all about, remember that band back in the day? What was it, NSYNC?
Yeah.
You gotta be in sync with your arms and body. So that's a little corny there, but, you know, no, whatever mentally helps.
Right.
So
very true. Gotcha.
More than half this game is a struggle up here between ear to ear. So
right. We are now we've reached the green. Max, this is you're putting for par.
Yep.
I'm putting for like probably triple bogey or something like that. But we're here on the green, the putting green. Max is going to go through how to play a shot on his first hole on the green. Go ahead, Max.
So once I step onto the green, the first thing I tend to look at, most greens are pretty big. I mean, it's pretty intimidating when you get onto a green and you start looking at all those different slopes and elevation changes of the green contours. It's just the biggest thing for me is I try to split the green into almost quadrants, I would say. You know, split the green into four sections. So for this golf ball right here, you know, I'm kind of splitting it down the middle here. And from there, you know, I focus on my section of the green. And the first thing I look for is where is the highest point between me, my golf ball, and the golf hole. And from where I'm standing, it appears that the higher side is maybe right here.
Yeah.
And then you say to yourself, okay, from the highest point between the golf ball and the golf hole, am I on the lower side? Am I standing on the lower side of that point or on, you know, the higher side?
Right.
So you'd probably say we're...
Say lower side.
On the lower side.
Yeah.
So that tells me this putt is going to be slightly uphill. From there, going from that highest point on the green between your golf ball and the hole, I sort of like to have the visual of if there was a huge monsoon just on that one point right there, where would that water fall?
Right.
And so I'm kind of seeing that between the golf ball and the hole, of course, where would the water fall? And I'm kind of seeing, you know, it would definitely fall down this way. But remember, that's not part of the section we're looking at.
Yes, that was certainly fun. I'm telling you, though, when I get warmed up, Alex, you called me out. When I get warmed up on that range and I start, you know, get the blood flowing, get the muscles loose, and then go out there and play 9 or 18, I'm a force to be reckoned with.
We'll see.
We're gonna see. We're gonna try to go out this weekend, man.
Okay.
That was certainly fun, though. That was our first. We just getting warmed up with this. Our very first weekly golf tip segment with golf pro from Timber Ridge Golf's golf course in East Lansing, Max Rebner. Max was great, And if you want to play the beautiful course, really a beautiful course over at Timber Ridge, you know that you can go to www.golftimberridge.com. They have the number there where you can book a tee time and find out a lot about the course. And contact them at 517-339-8000. They are located right in East Lansing on Park Lake Road. Certainly fun. So, all right, when we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. We'll let you know we'll be taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let's hear your thoughts on any of today's topics that we run through. Or if you got a tip for us on any of your – how's your golf game going? We want to know how your golf game is going. Why not? Give us a call. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
Did you know that certain volcanoes scream before they erupt and that scientists are recording Puerto Rican wetlands with iPods? I'm Ira Plato. Join me on Science Friday for the sounds of science and what we can learn from them. Plus a new moon for Neptune. What should we name it? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We're about to dive into our current sports section of the show. I'm joined by Alex Shargan and Matt Lutke. We just finished giving you just the first golf tip segment that we've started this summer with golf pro Max Rebner. It was a great time out at Timber Ridge Golf Course with him as we played the first hole and hit the driving range. Matt, do you golf a little bit? You get out there?
I haven't golfed since I was like 15.
Wow. It's a long time, bro.
I would probably be putting them farther left and farther right than you did from the sounds of it.
See, me, man, I tell you, the next time we're going to do that statement, I'm going to be like, Al Wood. That was not Al Woods. That was, I don't know who that was. That was Al Martin out there yesterday. But
Al McElroy?
Al McElroy. That's very, very nice because Rory is terrible. We'll get into that in a sec. And I know Aaron, you golf a lot. Is Aaron? I wonder if Aaron's going to talk. I'm challenging him right now. Is he going to talk? What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, he chimed in. We hear Aaron's voice, our great engineer. Aaron, you golf a lot. What are some things that you struggled with, man, when you first started playing the game?
Well, I just started taking it seriously last year, but mainly consistency as far as just actually getting – once you actually get ready to hit your ball, there's so many things that as someone that's trying to learn it new, I mean, there's about 800 things going through your head, and trying to do all those as well as trying to, hey, can I just hit this straight? Can I just make contact? It's pretty tough, but, you know, I've come a long way, but still right now it's just trying to stay relaxed. Trying to, you know, I have a certain set of things I do, right, like 3-4 steps I do right before I hit. If I can do that, then I'm pretty good. But
so you got a routine then?
I usually can't do it.
Right. So you have a regular routine that you go through, as everyone should. I mean, I go up, I kind of, you know, take a few steps back and look at the scenery a little bit and then look at my shot, take 3 practice swings, go up there, and then hook the thing right, like I did yesterday. So it was a fun time, though. Let's dive into current sports now. Again, you can give us a call here at 517-355-9527. We want to hear your thoughts on anything that you want to discuss. And let's open things up with the Open Championship. Now, Zach Johnson led yesterday with a 5-under 66. But the leaderboard has shaken up a bit. as of right now. It's a four-way tie. Well, let me. It's changing because the second round of the Open Championship is going on right now, and Angel Cabrera, he has just taken a solo lead, going 4 under par right now through 10 holes. So he's still playing. Miguel Jimenez, he is 3 under. He finished up today with a round 2 score of 71. And Zach Johnson, who has not teed off, he was yesterday's leader, as I just said. He has not teed off yet. He's still he finished up at 3 under, and he's still right now in second place. But Angel Cabrera, he's taking that first place lead. And Tiger Woods, Tiger Eldrick Woods, he finished up round 2 today shooting a 71. So he is 2 under, 2 shots off the lead right now. Phil Mickelson, he hasn't started his second round play. He is 1 under. So you got Phil, you got Tiger in there. Zach Johnson, he hasn't teed off yet. He's in there. Angel Cabrera, of course, as I just said, he has the lead. So Adam Scott, he finished up round 2 with 1 over par. He shot a 72. So you got some big names still in the mix, but one who is really, really struggling and has been all season so far is Rory McIlroy. Rory, he collapsed yesterday. What did he shoot, guys, yesterday? I forget his total yesterday, but it was not pretty. And the collapse, it looks like it's continuing, it looks like. He's shooting, he's 12 over par right now. And, yeah, he shot a 79 yesterday. So we're still looking for Rory to wake up. So, but I chose Tiger Woods to win this thing, and Tiger is right in the thick of it. And I really, when I'm looking at golf, because I feel as though just the game, it has a certain buzz to it when Tiger Woods is playing and, you know, in that running to possibly win. And, you know, I love seeing that. So what do you guys think, man? So who did you guys choose, first of all, to win this? I forget. I haven't looked at the picks in a while.
I wish I could forget as well. I knew I was picking between Lee Westwood and Luke Donald. And Lee Westwood is at least still, you know, you can actually find his name on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Luke Donald, nowhere to be found. I don't even know if he went out
Luke.
On the course today. Yeah,
I think he's a plus 10 right now.
He was way off yesterday. Right. I said I regretted it immediately after I picked him, and living up to the billing.
Yeah,
thanks a lot,
yeah,
Luke.
Luke shot he shot an 80.
He sure did.
An 80 on his first round. He finished up today shooting a 72. So yeah, he's 10 over par. And Alex, who'd you have?
I had Ernie Els, but he is also over par with 4. Plays plus 4.
Oh,
and
man.
I believe as Al Woods is what alter ego it
it's
is?
My alter ego. I have Al Jordan as well.
Right, right. Well, yeah. Al Woods is doing pretty well. So.
Yeah. I'm looking pretty good. You can't go wrong choosing Tiger, though, because Tiger, he's always in the thick of things. Well, as of recently, I mean, he's the number one player in the world now. I feel as though he's got his mojo back, you know. So, Tiger, please help me out because I need some help with my picks. All right, let's move on now to Jason Maxill. The Orlando Magic have signed longtime Piston big man Jason Maxill. The terms of the deal have not been disclosed just yet, but Maxill has spent his entire 8-year career with the Detroit Pistons, averaging 6.9 points, 5.7 rebounds, and a little over you know, 1 block a game in about 24 minutes per game last season. Now, the 6'7" forward center can play both positions on the low block and figures to really get more playing time out in Orlando. And Orlando is excited to have him. Now, when he was with the Pistons, Jason was a guy, when you looked at him, I think he had a lot of potential, but he just didn't seem to find his niche with the Pistons. There was a time when I thought, okay, this guy is the man down low. But it seemed as though as you know, time went on, especially last season when you have a guy like Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe down low. I mean, he really didn't find his place, guys. So.
Yeah, and now with Josh Smith, it's even more crowded in the front court, and
right.
Josh Smith is basically a better version of Jason Maxill.
Jason Maxill.
But once upon a time, it looked like he was the heir apparent to Ben Wallace as far as, like, you know, the man down low, but just kind of got squeezed out.
Right, that's very true. I mean, he had some glimpses when everybody was comparing him to Big Ben back in the day, you know, because of his power, you know, his tenacity on defense. So congrats to Jason. You know, hope he finds his way out in out in Orlando. All right, the Charlotte Hornets. That's right. The NBA Board of Governors unanimously approved a name-changing application that will allow the Charlotte Bobcats to revert back to the Charlotte Hornets for the start of the 2014-2015 season. Now, the initial NBA franchise in Charlotte was named the Hornets and resided in the city from 1988 until moving to New Orleans in 2002. 2 years later, the league awarded the expansion Bobcats to Charlotte. Now, Charlotte jumped at reclaiming the name after the franchise in New Orleans changed its moniker to, get this, the Pelicans. Whoa, that's a terrible. That's got to be the worst name.
I think Pelicans is so much better than Bobcats, though. I mean,
you
I know.
Think so?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
We
Pelicans,
should have a debate about this
because it's like the state bird of Louisiana. There's a lot of history with the Pelicans, and I think there was a minor league baseball team down there that was the Pelicans once upon a time.
Really?
So there's history there. Bobcats, though.
Yeah,
Bobcats.
They're both bad, I think. You know what? Go on our Facebook page. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. What name is worse, the Pelicans or the Bobcats? Pelicans, I mean, how can you be intimidated by a pelican, though? I mean, we're playing the Pelicans today. That sounds so.
That's true.
Sounds
but then
girly.
You can also say, like, you know, we're going to go play the Jazz. You know, I don't think the Jazz are very intimidating. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, not everything has to have, you know, razor-sharp claws or anything, so.
Yeah, maybe it has to grow on me. I don't know. But, yeah, the Pelicans, though, so that's what New Orleans has changed their name to. So now, since the Hornets' name is gone, the Charlotte decided to jump on it. And gladly so. You know, there were some good days back in the day when Charlotte had that Hornets name. Now, they saw much more success with the Hornets name than the Bobcats name, of course, back in the day. I mean, the Hornets made the playoffs in 7 of their 14 seasons, while the Bobcats made just one postseason appearance from their stint from 2004 to up to now. Now, MJ, Michael Jordan, he is, of course, the owner of the Bobcats. He says, quote, with the young team we are developing on the court, the direction of our business, and the return of the Hornets name, we are extremely excited about our future. The buzz is back. End quote. I don't know if he said it like that.
I hope he did. Pun intended. I like that.
Pun intended.
Now, are they going to bring back the starter jackets?
Oh, man. I used to have like 3 of those.
They were amazing.
They were really stylish, man. Those were fly. Those were
bring them back.
Fresh.
Bring them back, Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. Please bring them. I might go buy one now. Wow. I'm not buying a Pelican. I'm not buying any Pelican gear.
No.
All right, because that's just embarrassing. I would get clowned by my boys. But all right. That's exciting, though. Michael Jordan, though, man, that's a bad team, guys. And I really think it hurts because I'm such a huge Michael Jordan fan. And to see how bad the Bobcats, well, now the Hornets, have been,
it
hurts.
There's no end in sight.
No
end. They've been terrible forever. And
yeah.
Oof.
And it looks to continue. And I think Michael Jordan, you know, it's something interesting. Michael Jordan just hired. And Charles Barkley is taking a lot of flack because he said this, but Charles says that Michael just hires a bunch of yes men around him, and he just recently hired his brother on the coaching staff. His brother, guys, Larry. Larry Jordan is on the coaching staff just because he's his brother. I couldn't believe that, man. So you get what you asked for, and MJ, you got to branch out, man. I understand he has this trust problem, but you got to branch out and start, you know, getting some, you know, really legitimate personnel, brother. All right, Josh Brent, troubled Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman. Josh Brent announced his retirement from the NFL yesterday afternoon. Now, Brent was indicted on intoxication manslaughter charges last December after the car he was in, or driving, I should say, flipped and killed friend and teammate Jerry Brown in Irving, Texas on December 8th. Now, he also faces continuing substance abuse failure with multiple drug tests. Brent was a 7th-round pick from the University of Illinois in the NFL supplemental draft back in 2010. He totaled 32 sacks, 1.5 sacks on average in 31 games with the Cowboys. Brent is free on bond, and he awaits trial. And he faces right now 20 years in prison for that incident involving his teammate and friend, Jerry Brown. So Brent has just said, hey, I'm going to hang it up. He's got a lot on his table that he needs to tend to besides the game of football. So, all right, 6 players join NCAA lawsuit. 6 current college football players have joined the federal antitrust lawsuit recently levied against the NCAA and EA Sports, as we talked about yesterday, for using player likeness without compensation. So 6 players have decided that, hey, You're using our name on these games. We should be paid in some way. And I can see an argument. I can see their argument from a certain standpoint with that. Now, Arizona linebacker Jake Fisher, kicker Jake Smith, Vanderbilt linebacker Chase Garham. I mean, I could all go on and on. It's a lot of them. Now, on July 5th, a federal judge allowed attorneys to update their lawsuit to fix legal technicalities, including adding at least one active player to the lawsuit. So this is very interesting. I would love to have an in-depth conversation on this
could
in
be
the
a,
coming weeks.
Could be a Barbershop Wednesday.
That could definitely be a Barbershop Wednesday segment. I believe we have a call, though, right now on line one. Welcome to Current Sports.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. I wanted to comment on the athletes getting paid, but the first thing is I want to send some kudos out to Jason Maxfield. He was a true Piston.
Yeah.
The only problem he had was that he was 6'5 instead of 6'8, but he had the heart of a Piston. I always root for him. He always came in and gave it his best. And I thought he represented well, but it was time for him to move on.
Yeah, he was a hard-working player. That's something you can't – truly blue-collar guy.
Okay, now my comment on the athletes being paid. I don't agree with them using the guy's picture or his name without his, you know, permission. But on the other hand, you know, a five-year athletic scholarship is worth at least $200,000. And when the athletes say, well, you ought to pay us, and in addition to that, you know, I do take issue with.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that if a kid is 18 and he wants to go play football, pro football or basketball or whatever it is, he should be able to go and do whatever it is that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes to the university, I think, and gets that, you know, $200,000 a year worth of education and tutoring and food and all that other kind of stuff, those kinds of experiences, he needs to accept what the program is, because once colleges start paying individual athletes, I'd rather see him go to make football a club sport, because colleges are not to be professional training institutions. If that's all a kid wants, you should go out there in the free market and find it. They do have the NBDL for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Pro football doesn't have it, but they don't need to. All we're doing is saving professional football money by being the training system for them, and they don't have to pay for it. So if a kid wants to make money, God bless him, let him go do it, and let him find a place to do it. But if you go to the university, you got to work within the structure of the situation. One final comment.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
When I was at MSU working on my degree, I was an intern at WKAR.
Wow.
I put in 15 to 20 hours a week of work, and if you know the system, if you're getting credit for that, you have to pay those credits.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, I was paying for the opportunity to work for free at WKAR.
Mm-hmm.
But the trade-off is you get experience, you make connections. It's part of the process of building your career, and I think the same thing applies when you look at athletics. For many, it could be an internship, the way you would look at it, that they're trying to get professional experience for later in the career. But for the ones that don't go into a professional athletic career, they're still getting the benefit of that education. So I really don't see how they're being shortchanged. I appreciate you taking my comments, and I'll hang up and take your answers off the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom, for the call. Some very valid points made. And, hey, look at that, a WKAR alum, if you will. Used to intern here back in the day. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Again, you can weigh in and let your voice be heard right here on Current Sports. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. He has some valid arguments, guys. And I tell you what, I don't agree that college athletes should be paid. That's something I mean, they're getting their tuition paid for. I mean, and when you look at the amount of money that, you know, that they get as far as books go, room and board, all of that free stuff that the university pays for, that's enough. But I do think when you talk about a video game, being allowed to use these players' names, their picture, and it's out there where individuals can buy the game, and it's being used as revenue for EA Sports or any other video game platform for that matter. I do see an argument where, hey, these players, I mean, if you're using my name and you're using my face, you're using my image, where's my moolah at? I can see that argument.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly holds. So you're agreeing with our caller in the way that
I agree.
Don't think that they should be paid additional.
They should not be paid additionally as far as the university is concerned, because they're getting a scholarship to play here. But when you talk about outside sources using, and you could even bring up, you know, back in the day with the Fab Five, when they released the whole Fab Five shoes and the socks. I mean, the shoes, I forget. I don't know if they were Reebok or Nikes. If you watch that documentary, because it was a little before my time of watching that documentary, I didn't know this, but they released a Fab Five shoe. The Fab Five, we all know who the Fab Five were, and they put, it's their image, and they didn't get paid for that. I do see a problem with that. I do see a problem with outside sourcing.
Gotcha. Well, and so here is the Alex on A Current Sports, who will, of course, give you something to think about. Now, I do agree with you that if you are using an athlete's name or picture or anything, they don't really use the pictures in NCAA for EA Sports, but they do use their numbers, and pretty much without them exactly saying their name legally, they basically give the exact height, the exact weight, close to the exact weight, and pretty much the same idealistic look of a player without exactly using his name. So although they're not technically using his name in the game, they're still using that, his character. They're still using his, you know, his persona, his physical characteristics in that game. So yes, I agree, they should be paid for that. But in terms of college athletes being paid, and with our caller, I believe they should be paid some amount. Now, this is why. If you look at students, okay, that don't play sports, the students are learning things just like athletes. Athletes are learning sports management. They have other majors besides football. Football is their side, quote-unquote, job. They're not getting paid, but that's their extracurricular activity. Students who are majoring in something else, too, they don't get paid for their major, but they are having jobs that they get paid. Now, is football a job? No. But football is the equivalent in a job, because these athletes don't have time for jobs. When they apply for other jobs, the employer simply says, you cannot commit during these times we need you because of football. We cannot offer you a job besides that. So I simply think they should have some form of money because of the time commitment for football and the fact they just don't have enough time to get income.
When you talk about academically, though, Alan, I want to chime in real quick before we get to Matt, and then we'll go. We have a caller on line one in just a sec. But when you look at this, football players, they get to eat for free. They get their books for free. A lot of, especially, you know, some of my, you know, fellow colleagues when I was in college, like my roommate, for example. I mean, he will work because he needed money to pay for his books. He needed money to eat. He needed money for those things, which an athlete gets for free. And I don't see why an athlete needs additional money if they're getting those essentials paid for them. So, all right, we have Mr. Tate from Atlanta, the ATL, on line one, all the way from Atlanta. How you doing, Mr. Tate?
I'm blessed and well. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
Hey, I appreciate you guys taking my call, man. I love the show. First and foremost, I want to say just as far as the Jason Maxfield thing goes, you know, he was, in the time that he came and became a Piston, I believe that, you know, with what he was able to give you, considering his athleticism, his energy, in some cases coming off the bench before he made himself a fairly consistent starter, and being able to play above the rim considering his size, obviously kind of a smaller power forward, but plays a little bit bigger at the position in the NBA, and for the team that he was playing for, as terrible as the Pistons eventually got over time, I think that that's kind of what helped him, put him over the top, as, you know, being a Cincinnati product. A lot of those guys, your Yancey Gates, who I know is a bigger guy, but Eric Hicks, who was there a little bit before that, you know, a lot of those guys are the same type of players, very physical guys. And I think it would have only been a matter of time, as good and optimistic as people made it out to seem that, you know, that he was, Jason Maxfield, you know, that it would only become until about this time that it would be like, hey, you know what, he hasn't looked as good or been consistent as, you know, what we got out of him as Piston fans, obviously, you know, was well worth it, and we appreciate it as Piston fans. That's number one. Number two, I know you guys are talking a little bit about Michael Jordan and the Bobcats, if you will.
being as horrible as they have been ever since they became, you know, an organization or a franchise. But, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, how long will they be bad? That's something we don't necessarily know, but how long have we said this about the Clippers? I mean, you know, it's been so long since we've seen, hey, number one pick, draft, you put on the hat. I mean, you hated to go to the Clippers. I mean, that was the worst team. I mean, you could just even imagine. The best thing about getting drafted to the Clippers is the fact that you get to be a part of L.A., but how do you feel about going in, you know, something that's supposed to be your arena, you're sharing and you're playing on that court, it's your home court, and you're looking up at, you know, banners of other of a whole nother team, you know, franchise.
Right.
But as far as what you guys were saying about guys getting athletes paid and whatnot, I personally feel that, and I totally agree in some ways on what you, the host, Mr. Martin, was saying, but in the same token, you know, you're not allowed to get jobs. And you may feel like, you know, the books that you're having access to and, you know, the education, how much money does that cost, and, you know, being able to eat for free and things of that nature. But how about some of these athletes whose family is, you know, poor or less fortunate, rather, and they have their future as an athlete, they're carrying basically their whole family on their back because they're being the ones that's expected to go ahead and be that big-time person, you know, to carry on that family and change something for the whole generation and even past generations. That being said, you know, what if you're from New York and you get a scholarship to UCLA and family situations, emergencies, whatever, what have you, you know, your family has to come up with that money to fly you back home. Universities aren't supposed to be, quote-unquote, be doing those type of things. So yeah. I think that there needs to be something in place, that some kind of system being put in place that says, hey, you have this option of being able to get this amount of money your first year. You put it away, you stack it, you're not allowed to touch it or not allowed to touch it unless certain situations. And then as you stay longer and longer throughout college, that builds and you get more and more on top of that all the way up until you get that degree.
Right.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening and allowing me to vent. I'll keep on listening to you guys, and I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Tate. As Mr. Tate from Atlanta, really appreciate your thoughts on today's topics. Very valid points. Again, you can call in. Let your voice be heard right here on Current Sports, 517-355-9527. Matt, we didn't get to you on your thoughts on this whole NCAA, whether players should get paid situation. Go ahead, man. You got the floor.
Well, I'm kind of splitting the difference between you guys. You know, I definitely see that in terms of the hours that you have to put in, it is tough to find a job. But at the end of the day, it seems like, you know, what we're talking about is like amounts to spending money. If, you know, if you're talking about getting your tuition, you know, is taken care of, room and board, all that stuff. It's like, you know, and he made a great point that I hadn't really thought about, is if your family does depend on you to be like kind of the breadwinner, it's tough. But if you're in college, I don't know how you would be expected to do that anyway, to really bring home serious money. Because
unless
even
you
if
go
you're
to the pros, yeah.
Exactly.
and
that's a different discussion if you know, if they should be let in the pros earlier. But, you know, when you're getting everything taken care of as far as academics and stuff like that, it just seems like where are these expenses coming from that you need to have this extra income? And you know, you can pick up a job here or there. It might not be the job you want, but if you're just doing it as a little part-time thing, you can make some sacrifices and you know, take a job of a couple hours a week. You get a little spending money.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, you look at this. The essentials are being paid for.
Exactly.
You need food to survive. You need books to learn. That's what you need in college. Those are the essentials, all right? What else do you need?
You have room and board.
You got room and
place
board.
Place to live.
All that's,
taken care of.
Yeah, taken care of. You have the essentials. I don't see, you know, what are you going to use these funds for? To go out and go to the club or something? I don't know what you're going to do with the money. I don't know. But, you know, it's a very intriguing topic, something that, you know, we will definitely talk about more in depth as time goes on. Thank you to Mr. Tate. And also, Tom, for calling. You guys had some great points. Again, 517-355-9527. We want to hit a quick break and then come right back and wrap up Current Sports and go into Reflection Fridays very briefly. Thanks for listening, guys. More Current Sports is next. Mm-hmm.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Dean Norris, who's currently starring in the CBS drama Under the Dome. And next month, when Breaking Bad returns for its final episodes, he'll be back as DEA agent Hank Schrader.
There's this mystery man I've been chasing for the better part of a year. Cooks the purest meth that me or anyone else has ever seen.
Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We're taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527, to discuss anything that's on your noggin. We've certainly discussed a lot so far in this hour, coming up with just about 7 minutes left. Just also want to note that the adopted son of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky is seeking a name change more than a year after his father was convicted of child abuse. That's according to a report yesterday by the Associated Press. Now, Matt Sandusky, he filed papers Tuesday in Center County Court seeking to have the names of him and his family changed. Though those documents are sealed, they show he filed for a name change along with his wife and four children. Now, Matt was originally expected to be a defense witness at his father's trial until he revealed to investigators that he, too, had been abused by the former Nittany Lions assistant. Jerry Sandusky was convicted on 45 counts, sick man of sexual abuse, and is serving a sentence of 30 to 60 years. All right, and Ricky Williams, former Pro Bowler and Heisman Trophy winner, Ricky Williams has landed a college coaching job at the University of the Incarnate Word. Did I say that right? The incarnate word? I think that's the name of the university. At least he's got a job. He's coaching. He's back in football. He will work with the running backs at UIW. That's the abbreviation for it, which is located in San Antonio, Texas. UIW football is a Division I program that will compete in the Southland Conference this year. Now, Williams should be psyched because, just to be doing anything as far as football is concerned because, of course, he retired from the Ravens last year after an 11-year career that was marked by extreme highs and lows. Extreme highs and lows.
I loved it.
So, Ricky Williams, congrats, brother. I'm glad to see you back in the game of football doing something. All right, guys, it is Friday, so that means it's also Reflection Friday. What a week. I didn't even take a breath. A lot to cover. We had a lot of guests, a lot of great guests, a lot of great moments on the show, a lot of crazy stories this week. Guys, what was your favorite moments of this week? Just let's reflect. Can we have some reflection music? We got any reflection music, Aaron? We don't. He's like, no, we don't, Al. Keep moving on. All right, Aaron, Alex, go ahead.
My reflection has to be Al Woods. Just the letdown, the
you're,
disappointment.
You're really getting on me.
Yeah, I mean, you've hyped yourself up a lot. I looked on social media. I saw the Facebook video, the Vines, the Instagrams, all of the. Check this out, guys. I'm Al Martin. Point. I'm about to go with your perfect, in parentheses, perfect swing.
Alex.
And on the golf course, far left, far right. With the excuse. I know you didn't warm up on
we
the.
We didn't play nine holes. That was just okay. That was one hole for a WKAR segment. Come
sure,
on,
sure.
No, we're gonna go out. All right, we're gonna go out and Aaron, I'm gonna let Aaron know if we go out tomorrow and Al Woods will be back.
All right. Well, we'll be back on Monday to let you know if Al Woods is back or not.
All right. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm on the edge of my seat about this Al Woods stuff. This is great.
Man, pressure.
You know, we did have a lot of great guests, like you said. I mean, whether it's George Blaha, on the phone, Mateen Cleaves. But don't overlook Matthew Brown from the Lansing Cowboys.
Was great.
He was awesome.
Yes.
Like, let's bring him back for, like, a barbershop or something. Like, just plug him in. The guy's ready to go. He was awesome.
I think I'm going
to
do that.
Yeah.
I'll shoot him a text.
And, why not?
Because he was really good. And you know, it's so remarkable with Matthew. I think that might have been – that was one of my favorite moments as well. Because, I mean, Matthew, a guy who's really making a big change or trying to make a change in the Lance community with inner-city youth and getting them to play football. I mean, the entire program is free, you know, sponsored by his company. And that's really inspirational stuff, and great to see guys like him doing something in the, positive in the community for the youth, because Lord knows they really need it, man.
Absolutely.
So for me, this whole week was special. You know, sitting there, and I'm blessed to have this platform and to give, you know, to do what I love and talk about sports with you guys. And you guys are such a great help. I have the best sports team in the world. I always say that. And, you know, the ESPYs for me, something that really stuck out to me was that Robin Roberts moment. Robin Roberts, individual who I look up to so much in the world of journalism and as a human being in general, because she's done so much for journalism. And, you know, just as an inspiration for those fighting cancer and fighting any illness out there that they're going through. And it was such a great tribute that they gave to her during the ESPYs. And that was such an inspirational moment, not only for me, but I'm sure for many. So, all right, guys. Well, it's Friday as well. And the weekend. Well, Aaron, did you have something, Aaron? We're going to start putting Aaron in the photo. Does he have any reflection Fridays? He'll get to us in a sec. We're all, Aaron, you want to go? Go ahead, Aaron. He's telling me, no, he's waving a finger. All right, we'll come back to Aaron on his Reflection Friday.
Yeah, now I'm ready.
Okay, he's ready.
You know, I got to engineer things.
Right.
Reflection Friday. Let's see. I like Alex's, Al Woods.
Oh, Lord.
You know.
Goodness.
We'll give you another chance. But, you know, I think I agree with Matt, that Matthew was, he you know, said what he needed to say in an elegant way. He's helping the community out. Sounds like a great program to be part of. So, you know, I think that was probably my highlight of the week.
Yeah, Matthew Brown was great. We're trying to get him back on the show very, very soon. All right, guys, what's on TV this weekend? What are you watching? Real quick.
Got to see if your boy Al Woods is going to win it.
Oh,
I'm going to keep going on
goodness,
it. And listen, Al, I'm not saying that I'm a better golfer than you. Of course I'm not.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's what you're saying.
No.
That's what he's saying.
It sounds a little bit like that's what you're hinting
at.
Yeah,
that's what he's hinting.
I think
we're on our way to a showdown.
It's on. It's on like Donkey Kong this weekend.
All right.
All right. All right. What about you, man? What are you watching, man?
I'm not watching anything. There's nothing on. We're in these weird summer months. I'll watch the British Open. I'll watch some sports. But as far as TV goes, I'm just waiting for Breaking Bad.
I watched season 8. Episode 8 of season the last season last night. I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm going to go out and be brave and watch The Conjuring. I might go by myself.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy movie.
Bring some extra underpants
or
something.
Yeah, that movie
looks scary.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, all right. Sure. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shark and Matt Lucky, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wolf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Max Rebner, golf pro from Timber Ridge Golf Course for the great tips. Fantastic weekend, folks. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing and WKR FM HD3 East Lansing. Whoa, I'm out of breath. Be easy, people.